Good morning. Thank you for those songs, Daryl. Hope God was pleased and praised with our singing them. I want to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We have Tina from Missouri visiting with us, visiting her son. Nice to see Jeff and Kelly Craig from all the way from Pahrump. So if you're visiting with us, we're very glad to have you. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John, the 8th chapter. Kurt had read this passage earlier during our scripture reading. We're going to look at this passage. It's 10 short verses, but I tell you, it has a lot of meaningful messages in it, even for us today. John 8, starting in verse 2. We've got the setting here in verses 2 through 4, and it says, "Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act.'" So here is the setting. This is kind of a different situation than your normal, you know, going to temple and discussing a passage of scripture. The scribes and the Pharisees should have been at the temple listening to Jesus and maybe learning something. Here are religious leaders of the day. They weren't in the temple. They were out doing this other stuff, bringing this woman. You know, they disrupted Jesus' lesson, whatever he was teaching about. We don't know what he was teaching about. The real lesson is going to come thanks to the scribes and Pharisees. But he winds up giving them another lesson instead. A question I had always had about this passage: where was the man? Where was the partner she was caught in adultery in the very act with? It doesn't say, you know, I'm not going to inject anything. Were they just using this situation? Well, we know one of their motives was to test Jesus. But where was the man? Was it a setup? Maybe was the man part of it? We don't know. In Matthew 18, Jesus teaches how to go about dealing with a sinning brother or sister, and they didn't follow that. That if you have an issue with a brother or sister, Jesus said in Matthew 18, make it public first. Rent a billboard, broadcast it over everything, deal with, you know, bring it before the public. Jesus says, go to that person first. Obviously, they didn't hear that lesson. In 1 Corinthians, Paul teaches in chapter 14, verse 40, let everything be done with decency and in order. Do it decently and in order. That sure wasn't done here. Tracy, could you imagine you're teaching class? Dick, you're up giving a Sunday evening lesson, and just all commotion breaks loose, and something like this interrupts everything. And that's what was being done. Jesus was in the temple in the middle of a lesson when this takes place. I don't know how many times I had read this account and kind of glossed over this, that this was done during the teaching of a lesson. You know, it sure wasn't done, as Jesus said in John 4 a few chapters earlier, you know, that we must worship in spirit and in truth. The scribes and the Pharisees very rarely could be accused of doing things without the truth. They knew the truth. They knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. But they didn't do a lot of things with the spirit. There was most of the time you saw them not having the spirit of God as they did an activity. In verse 5, we see a question asked. So the setting, you know, the stage was set, and now you've got a question coming out. And they say, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? It's kind of, not only there was a statement and a question there. They're making the statement, the proclamation, a reminder that in the law of Moses, people that did, you know, that committed this could be stoned. No one's arguing with them about that. No one's arguing that they didn't know the law of Moses. And then they say, but what do you say? They had no interest in what Jesus had to say. None. They're saying they want to know. What do you say about this? They didn't want to. If they'd have been interested in what Jesus had to say, they'd have been in the temple when he was teaching. Amen. But we see this is not the situation. We see their motives in the next verse. In verse 6, when Jesus responds to their question, it says, this they said, testing him. That's the only reason they did this. They wanted to test him, that they might have something of which to accuse him of. That was their whole motivation. Spirit and in truth. That was, you talk about an evil motive. All they wanted, what was that old cartoon, you know, Boris Batinoff and Natasha, curses foiled again. You know, how many times did the scribes and Pharisees try to set Jesus up? Try to wiggle him into a corner verbally. And then, of course, he just, you know, comes up with being the Son of God. They couldn't trap him. They tried this, they tried that. They're doing this. This verse 6 says everything you need to know about their hearts. That they did all of this, testing him, that we might have something to accuse Jesus of. And it says, but Jesus stooped down. Here's his response. But Jesus stooped down. I'm not going to reenact that one. Stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. He was ignoring them. Ignoring them. That's powerful. That is power. His silence said so much. I'm not going to argue with you. He's writing on the ground. I've read lots of things. We have no idea what he wrote. We can speculate, and it'd be, you know, your guess would have been as good as mine. I'm not even going to try to guess. I've heard people speculate stuff, everything that he was writing out the name of the guy that she was with, writing their sins on the ground. We don't know. We don't know. Bottom line, he was ignoring them. He's fiddling. Just kind of scribbling on the ground. They're talking to him. When the scribes and Pharisees came up to people, they commanded attention. They're the scribes and the Pharisees. And what's Jesus do? He just kneels down and starts scribbling and scribbling. That says more than if he'd have spoke to them. Verse 7, we see his answer. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." He's agreeing with them. I'm not disputing. You ask me, you made a statement about in the law of Moses, it says that she should be stoned. I'm not arguing with you. You know the scriptures? I know the scriptures. Go ahead. The one of you that has no sin, here's his answer. You take up a stone and you throw it first. And then everybody else can join in. The one of you that does not have sin, go ahead. It says in the law of Moses what can be done. I'm waiting. Don't you know about the only thing you could have probably heard was the wheels turning in their minds, their own consciences turning over. That response made them reflect on their actions and attitudes. Telling somebody something to do, you can tell them all day, but unless it comes from them, you can tell somebody to do something, but unless it comes from them, it's really meaningless. Jesus makes them, by his statement, they reflect on their actions and their attitudes. We do that we should do it every day, but we do that every Sunday quite often. 1 Corinthians 11:28 is mentioned when we take the Lord's Supper, where Paul was talking regarding the Lord's Supper, but let a man examine himself before taking this. To reflect and to really get your mind right. Got to have your mind right. Be quiet. You got to have your mind right. And they did this. They reflected on themselves. Okay, we've made this setting. We brought the woman here. We're trying to trap Jesus. He responds, "Which one of us is going to throw the rock first?" Wow. Verses 8 and 9, we see the result. Starting in verse 8, it says, "And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground." He's going back to ignoring them. Basically saying, "I'll give you time. When you figure it out, let me know." Stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. This is very important here, how it's described. They went out oldest to the youngest. His question was very effective. His question served its purpose. They were convicted in their conscience. They knew enough scripture for it to have an impact on them. They left oldest to youngest. In the Sanhedrin, when they would vote on an issue, they would vote youngest to oldest. So the older, mature, experienced ones would not influence the younger people. You know, what are you going to do? Now, granted, they probably talked and questioned anyway, but at the time of a vote, they would vote youngest to oldest, so it wouldn't influence. You could think for yourselves. Here they left the wiser, older, experienced people. They got it. They started leaving. Not looking for rocks to throw. Jesus' question convicted their hearts. And they started leaving, giving a message loud and clear to the others. Don't discount the gray hairs of people. They've been around. They've seen experiences. You've earned them. It's kind of like merit badges. Age brings experience. Age brings maturity. Then you have a question from Jesus to the woman. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Two big different words here. Two very big different words. Accusers and condemn. Not the same. Where are the accusers of you? Has no one condemned you? Then you've got the command. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I have heard an awful lot of religious people with different comments on this verse. That Jesus didn't condemn her. That Jesus accepted her. I don't know how to tell those people. I don't know how you're reading this. Jesus didn't accept her sin. Never once in here does Jesus accept her sin. He's asking, where are those people that accused you? Did anyone condemn you? Condemning is passing sentence. People accuse somebody of a crime. Then the judge passes sentence if they're guilty. The accusers were still the accusers. In fact, Jesus acknowledges she sinned. Go and sin no more. He's not going to pass. pass judgment and condemn her. He gives her the answer. The answer is repent. Go and sin no more. He never, ever condoned her sin. He never said, what you did is acceptable. He never said, what you did is in accordance with God's word. What you did, I will look past. He says, go and sin no more. In Exodus 20, verse 14, the scribes and Pharisees understood, you shall not commit adultery. And neither should the guy she was with either. Amen. Obviously, this woman is married. Talk about inference. Doesn't say you should not commit fornication. Fornication is illicit sexual activity of two people. Adultery is somebody that's married. Matthew 14, John the Baptizer died over preaching about adultery.
Amen.
He lost his life because of it. Jesus doesn't condone it. Jesus did not condone what she did. His cousin died because of it, of preaching about it. In Matthew 5, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes so far as to say, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say, even if you look at somebody with lust in your heart, you've committed it. Don't have even lust in your heart. And you sacrifice to avoid going to hell. During this passage in Matthew 5, 27 to 32, he talks about all of this. That adultery is wrong. Lust is wrong. The consequences of divorce over adultery. And you sacrifice to avoid hell. And in Matthew 19, in his discussion about marriage and divorce, about the sacrifice of becoming a eunuch for the kingdom. In this passage, he talks about some people were born eunuchs. Born without the ability to have sexual relations. Some people are made eunuchs by men. Sometimes man makes them that way. It was a very common practice to have the people serving in the house of royalty to make them eunuchs so you don't have to worry and be suspicious and, you know, things like that. And Jesus says, some have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. I know Christians that have made that sacrifice, that have done what Jesus said in Matthew 19. Jesus never condoned her sin, but he gave her the out. He gave her the alternative. Go and sin no more. He acknowledged her sin, but gave her the option of repentance. Jesus was able to teach many lessons during this encounter. May not have been the lessons he started out teaching in the temple, but he used the opportunity as a teaching lesson. The scribes and Pharisees learned a lesson. The woman learned a lesson. Those watching the event take place, that we're not even part, that we're just there listening to Jesus, they learned a lesson. And there's a lesson for us today, 2,000 years removed. We can learn from it. Hopefully these 10 short passages will be something that we can learn from, take with you. You've got an outline. You might want to go back and use it as a source of maybe your Bible study this week or something. Hope it's been valuable to you. We always like to offer an invitation. We never like to come together as a body. We always want to offer the invitation for people that may need to put their Lord on in baptism. The invitation that if you've got sin in your life, Jesus showed what the response to sin is, repentance. If you're a Christian, have been looking at some congregations around town and would like to worship with us, we would love to welcome you and have you worship and work with us. Whatever your need, if you have prayers. I do have a couple of announcements real quick before we sing the invitation. This coming Thursday is the night that we bag the groceries for feeding our kids. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. There's also a sheet on the bulletin board for the Magi Project, where you put gifts for a child in a shoebox, and the children that will be receiving them are orphans at an orphanage in Mexico. There's directions on the paper back there. If you have any questions, you can see Sean on that. Also, there's a sign-up sheet for, I think ladies are having a craft day a week from this coming Saturday. And I think next Saturday is the last day to sign up. So if you wanted to do a craft day, if you have any questions, see Stacy. Again, visitors, we welcome you. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.